I think one of the coolest things of being a dad is those moments when our kids come up and they want to be like us. They see us doing something, or they try to replicate what we're doing. And it's that those cool little snapshots in life when they're looking at us and trying to be like dad. I remember it was quite a few years ago, Tate came up to me and said, "Dad," he said, "I want to do what you do." I'm like, "Oh, that just is so touching, you know." And I'm thinking, you know, man, called by God, the ministry, you know, all this stuff. And he goes, "What do you do?" "I want to do what you do." What is it you do again? I don't even know what it is, but it just, it's that moment that our kids like to be like us, that those that come after us often fall into step behind us. And you know this is true. Maybe you grew up and you like a particular sports team because that's what your dad liked, or particular sport that you're a fan of that particular team because dad was a fan of that team. You just grew up in that kind of household that dad went on before, and you just kind of followed in that footsteps. Remember, my dad used to take us, me and my brother, dad used to play racquetball, and he used to take us with him and just kind of let us loose to run around the racquetball place there. And I remember that to this day. I mean, it was just such fun because dad played, and so we learned to play, and it's neat because I'm trying to teach my kids now how to play. And again, dad did this, and I did this, and the kids did this. And we see this progression. We see this progression that we so often follow in the footsteps of those who've gone ahead of us, and those of us that are going ahead, and we look back to those that are following us, we see that they're often following in what we do. Maybe you like a particular brand of car because that was your dad's brand. That, you know, maybe you're a Chevy guy or a Ford guy or a Bugatti guy. You know, whatever it is, maybe dad liked that particular car, and now you find yourself kind of gravitating toward that. Many of you are sportsmen for the very reason that your dad was, that you're a hunter because dad hunted, and it was just part of what went on. Or you love to fish because your dad loved to fish, and he would take you along with you, and you've adopted and you've become those elements of your father, simply because as he led, he created that opportunity and you followed in behind it. And it can be in all kinds of areas. Maybe you like a particular brand of technology or don't like technology. Or even more so, we see it in jobs. There was a study that just happened really just a few months ago, and it was a huge study. They interviewed thousands and thousands of people. And they found that as high as three times, you are as much as three times as likely to follow in the same career path, in the same career as your parents, as your dad. And you see that. That you see, you know, doctors often have sons that are doctors or daughters that are doctors, that lawyers often follow in that, that even people like in ministry, a lot of times a family follows in that, and whatever it is in your life, you see that the power of that. And maybe it didn't happen in your life, but you know people that it did, because there is that likelihood that those who went before you influenced where you are at today, that we are in large part here and who we are because of the opportunities created by those who went before. And those that are following you are becoming who they are in large part because of the opportunities that you are creating for them. Whether it be in sports or hunting or fishing or jobs. Happened in our family that one of my first jobs was working in a grocery store. Kerms, you remember? Yeah, on Water Street. Working in the meat department in the freezer. And my son just got a job working in a grocery store, working in the freezer section. And I was proud. We're sharing, you know, war stories. He's worked twice. But, you know, we're sharing war stories. Everybody's like, "Yeah, I got to wear long sleeves. You know, man, it's cold in there. And, you know, just wait till winter, you know. And you're going in there and, you know, you're wet and your clothes freeze. Oh, so cool." We're sharing stories. And again, that sameness, that opportunity to go on before. It's part of who we are as dads. It's really part of who we are as people. whether you're a dad or a mom, it's true for all parents, or you're anyone that has anyone looking to you for guidance. The truth is this, that as we move ahead in life, we're all creating opportunities for those that are coming on behind us. That those who are following us look to us. That we are there creating those opportunities, propping those doors open. And that's really the mark of what a great parent or a great leader is all about. That we're creating opportunities for those who are following behind us. And a good dad just says that. He says, I want you to have as many opportunities as you possibly can do. I don't want you to be limited. I want to do all I can to open those doors for you. And we say that to our kids all the time. I just want you to have as many options. I can't pick for you, but I want to make sure you have as many options as possible. And so we go through life and we try to do this. You know what I'm talking about? That the reason that you get on for their homework, is it because you just have so much time on your hand that you want to learn, you know, math again, that you struggle through the first time, but now you're helping them. Why? Because you understand the importance of an education. So we get on them. You got to do your homework. You got to do good in school. Why? Because we want them to have all of the opportunities that could happen for them. And so we try that. We know that there's good opportunities for education and employment. We know that. We see that. I love the story of Ben Carson, and aside from however you feel about his political association, he is really a great story. He became a very successful doctor in John Hopkins. And he tells the story about how his mom used to make them do book reports every week and present them to her. And so he would have to read a book, and he would have to write up a book report and turn it into his mom, and his mom would take the red pen, and he said she'd hand that thing back. Man, there'd be things underlined and circled, and she would just mark that thing up something fierce, and man, just going crazy with that red pen and giving it back to him. It's like, you need to check some things out. He says it really wasn't until years later that he realized that his mom couldn't even read. But yet she knew the importance of having children that could. And so she would take that red pen out and have no clue what she was marking up, but she was fierce and underlining and encircling, because she said, I'm going to get on you, because even though I haven't gone down that road, I want to make sure that I'm opening every single door to you. And so from a single illiterate mother, here came a brilliant neurosurgeon. Because why? Because there was a parent that says, I'm going to do everything I can to open up the doors for you. To make sure that as you are following me, that I'm creating every opportunity for you. And that is what we do as parents. That's what we need to do as parents. And here's the thing. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm not preaching from expertise. I'm preaching from principle this morning. And so as parents and as leaders and as those that we have charge over, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or an uncle or an aunt or a boss, whatever it is, that we push those that are following us to create opportunities. That we get our kids up in the morning, we try to keep them busy, because we understand that you need to do things. You can't just sit. We need to get their sleep. And so we try to get them into bed, because we realize that a healthy body is a good body, and there's opportunities that come with that. We try to teach them manners and respect, because we understand that there are opportunities that happen during social settings, and we want to give them every opportunity to do it right and to say the right things in the right way to keep those doors open. We monitor who they hang out with and their friendships, because we understand the power of influence upon their lives. And we do this not because it's easy, because it's not. We do this not because it makes us popular with our kids, because it doesn't. How many know what I'm talking about? That your kids was like, oh, I'm never going to be like you. And we're thinking, I said the same thing, and now here I am quoting the same thing that my dad said that I swore I'd never say. Right? Doesn't make us popular. It's just the opposite. That we understand this, that I'm doing this because I want you to have the best life possible. It may look like a limitation now. It may look like I'm coming down hard on you now. It may look like I'm just the mean dad or the mean mom or the mean boss or whatever it is that I'm coming down. But what I'm really doing, that someday you'll understand, is I am propping the door open for you. I'm holding the door open for you, that this is going to create an opportunity that you're not even aware of yet. But because I love you and I care for you and I'm sold on your potential, I am doing everything that I can do to make sure that you have every opportunity accounted for you. And one day, you'll look back. One day, in maturity, you'll look back and you'll understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. And when we get this as we grow up, all of a sudden we look back at how our parents were and how they treated us and did things, and we go, oh yeah, that's what that was for. I thought my dad was so mean, not letting me play out in the highway. Oh my goodness, he really loved me. And here I thought he was just being mean. Mom wouldn't let me have cookies, you know, 24 hours a day. And I thought she was the meanest person ever. She really cared about me. And here's the thing, that as we do this, we mature, we begin to understand this. And as dads and parents and or anyone who has someone coming in behind us, we have to do this. And here's the thing, we have to focus not just on the now. This is where I'm getting to. That we're creating opportunities not just for this world, but for something bigger. It's more than just this life. It's for the life beyond. It's not just for the present, but it's for the eternal. And here's the thing, that as parents, we are sold out on watching who our kids are friends with and monitoring relationships, and we're there creating opportunities for them, and we're there involved in their teachers and with coaches and with things that they do in life. But where are we in their relationship with God? Where are we creating opportunities, not just for the potential of this life, but for the life beyond, not for just today, but for eternity? That we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing to create every opportunity for my family to make it to heaven for eternity? And we find in Scripture a beautiful example, and just in all honesty, Scripture gives us lots of examples of really poor dads. I mean, there are many, many, many examples of just horrible examples of fatherhood and parenting, but there are also a few great ones. And this one that I want to point out today is an example of a dad who got it right. But this dad that is a guy that we know, but he's known for something else. But yet we're going to see in this single little scripture here a totally different perspective. That here was a dad that we account for something very powerful that we look back at and we can see it, but yet we see something deeper here, that this also wasn't just a man called by God to do something, but this was a dad who was fulfilling his role and creating an opportunity for those coming after them. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I love this scripture so much. It's in Hebrews. By faith, Noah. Now, it's just funny because Hebrews is in the New Testament and Noah is back in the Old Testament, but I love this. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. This has to be one of the greatest dad verses in Scripture. This just sums it up right there. That by faith, Noah, when warned about things he hadn't even seen yet, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. There is two dimensions here. There is obedience to God and an obedience to the responsibility of what it means to be a dad. There's that balance of I will follow what God says, but I will also not shirk my responsibility for what God gave me to be responsible for. And the beautiful thing is this, that there is harmony between the two. And I'm going to talk about this later, but let me just jump right to this. That God's way for you is also the best way for your family. That God's way for your life is always the best way for the lives that you've been given responsibility for. That when you follow God's way, you are creating an opportunity not just for you, but for those following after you. Because when God gives you to be someone to be responsible for, he also gives you the path to do it according to his plan in the best way. And I love this verse for that reason, that Noah, he began to understand this. He understood what this was all about. And he didn't do it because it was easy. I mean, can you imagine Noah's conversation with his kids? And the only way that I can make this relevant is to try to not talk about an ark, because we understand that. But can you imagine your dad coming to you and saying, son or daughter, God told me to build a spaceship in the backyard. We're going to build a rocket ship. And we are going to blast out of here, and we're going to start building it now. Can you imagine that conversation? That would not be an easy conversation. I mean, please remember that Noah had kids just like your kids. And I'm sure there was probably some eye rolls and like, oh my goodness, really? Really? Dad, nobody else have a rocket ship in their backyard. Dad, do you realize how hard it is to go through high school with my dad building a rocket ship in the backyard? Oh yeah, you're the crazy guy with a rocket ship. Noah, hey boys, come on, we're going to build a boat. Why, Dad, we don't live by the lake. Yeah, I know, but here's the story. And it's not just a little boat. That was not an easy conversation. I'm going to need your help. We're going to do this together. We're going to do this as a family. There's no promise, but there's nothing there that we can even hold to. This was on faith. It's not easy. And here's the thing, as Noah was doing this, as Noah was building this, he had to build this giant structure, but also remember this, he still had to provide for his family. He still had to work a job and provide food on the table. He still had to eat and clothe his kids and get backpacks and do all the things that parents do. Make sure that they had everything, that, you know, the latest sneakers and all the stuff that, you know, kids want and need these days. He still had to provide for that. In addition to doing this, this was not easy. This was hard work. This was difficult. He didn't do this to make him popular. I mean, this was odd. There were jeering involved, and we read about it in Scripture, that those who walked by made fun of him, that jeered against him. And this was a family. Can you imagine growing up in that environment? But Noah, by faith, out of holy fear, in obedience to God, built an ark to save his family. I'm not doing it because it's easy. I'm not doing it because it makes me popular. I'm not doing it because I think it's a good idea. I'm doing it because it's right. I'm doing it because this is what God is asking me to do. I'm doing this for one reason, kids, because I want you to live. I don't care that you're complaining about it. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm doing this because I want you to live. And what looks like a limitation now, what looks like me being a mean dad or a controlling dad or an odd dad, is really me just holding the door open, creating an opportunity for you to have life. For you to be able to survive, for you to be able to make it through the things that you're going to face in the future. And I don't care what you think about it. I don't care how you feel about it. I'm going to do it anyway because I love you, because I care about you, because I want you to live. And in this little passage, we see some powerful truths that affect all of us as parents and those that have people following us, is number one, there is an element of faith in doing what God asks us to do. An element of faith in doing the right things. Again, how many of you have ever done something and you've corrected your kids and you know is right, but then you sit down and you go, was that really the right thing? You know, maybe I should have been more lenient. Maybe I shouldn't have drawn the line there. Let's just be honest. There are some elements that we do that we question, but we've got to hold faith and say, you know what? Right is right and wrong is wrong. I've got to hold the line. I've got to do what is right. I've got to do the right thing. There's an element of faith involved. There's an element of faith involved. The other thing is this, there's an element of fear involved. How many would agree? Parenting can be very scary sometimes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's an element of fear as we're trying to do the right thing. Because we know where the future is heading, but yet we don't have the guarantees yet. And the same thing that Noah had. He's like, I know what God said, but I've never seen rain. I know what God said, but I don't have anything that I can prove yet. I know what's coming, but there's nothing that I can point to as an absolute yet. And that's the same thing that many of us face as parents and leaders, that saying, you know what? I don't have anything that I can definitely point to, but I know the direction. I know the trajectory. So out of fear and out of faith and out of love, I'm doing what I need to do. Not because I don't like you, but because I love you and I want you to live. And the third is this, is that recognition that God's way is always the best way for our family. That God's way is always the best way for us and for our family. So let's look at what Noah did. Jumping back to the beginning in Genesis where Noah began to obey God. He says, look, so make yourself an ark of cypress. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch or tar. Inside and out. And that's important because that's the principle that we take. There are things that we've got to do that are public. Things that we do on the outside. But it is more than just what is seen on the outside. It's also what's not seen on the inside. It's the stuff that nobody knows about. It's the stuff that's private. It's the stuff that's behind the scenes. And here's the thing. You can't just be a public parent. It takes hard work on the inside. It takes hard work on the inside. It takes a whole lot of praying when nobody else is praying. It takes a whole lot of studying and reading when nobody else is studying and reading to say, I need to know what to do. I need to know what to say. It's those private conversations. Am I going to do the right thing? I want my kids to do the right thing, but am I going to do the right thing? I want my kids to resist temptation, but am I going to resist temptation? I want my kids to follow God, but am I going to follow God? He says, look, to make this work, it's got to be on the outside and the inside. You can't just be a follower of God when you come to church and expect to have that reverberate throughout your home. It takes a day in and a day out. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm preaching to myself this morning. It's from God's truth that we all have to grasp this. That it's not just a show on the outside, but is this something that's really taken a hold of my heart on the inside? Noah says, look, I want you to do it on the inside and the outside. And he goes on. He says, this is how I want you to build it. He says, the ark is to be 300 cubits long and 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. And he goes on. He's giving him the measurements. He says, put a roof on it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. And put a door on the side of the ark and make it lower in the middle and the upper decks. And he's going on and he's explaining the details in the process of building this. And we need to understand this, that there is a way that God lays out. He says, look, there are things that you need to do, but there is also a way that I've given you. That's the beauty of God's word, God's principles. He says, there is a path that I'm giving you. There's a way that I've given you that you need to follow my guidelines. You know, it's amazing that we've done a lot of marriage seminars and we've done some parenting seminars through here. And it seems like every so often there's a new book that comes out and it's a new idea, new concept. But every one of them that we've gone through and every one that I've read all go back to the principles given in God's word. And that's been around for a long, long time. But are you aware of them? Are you aware of them? Are you leading your family? Are you leading your home? Are you leading your life according to God's principles? God's saying there's a way to do this to make it work. There's a way to do this to make it work. And that's why we study, that's why we dig, that's why we come and we discover what God has for us, because we understand that God's way is the best way for this life and the life beyond. It's not just letting go. It's not because it's easy. It's not because it's going to make us popular. But it's because we say, I love you and I want you to live. I want you to have every opportunity available to you. So we look at this and we follow God's way. But here's the thing, that we have a heavenly Father that cares about us, that loves us, that wants the best for us. And so he's saying there's a way to live. There's a way to walk. There's a way to go through life. And we can look at it and we can say, well, I mean, this seems rather limiting. This seems rather limiting. I mean, there's some things that, you know, that you're saying that we shouldn't watch. And there's some actions that we shouldn't do. And there's some things with our time. There's some things with our finances. There's some things with how we go through life. And it can seem so limiting. It can seem like just rules. It can seem like so restricting. But we need to understand that the same way that we as parents are doing this for our kid, there is a heavenly Father that loves you and saying, look, I know you don't understand this right now. I know this may seem like I'm trying to restrict you or limit you, but here's the reason why. It's because I love you and I want you to live. I want to create every opportunity for you. The reason I'm saying stay away from this is because I realize where this can take you. The reason I'm saying, hey, live your life according to this way, because I realize the blessing that comes by doing this. You may not even understand it right now, but if you trust me, if you follow me, there will come a time in your life where you will look back and say, oh, I understand what living for God means now. My life is blessed as a result of that. Look at all the mess that I have messed because I did it God's way, and it becomes real, it becomes powerful, and that's what our Heavenly Father is saying. He's saying, look, I'm asking you to live this way, not because it's easy, not because it's going to make you popular, but because I love you, I want what's best for you, and I want you to live. And that's how God leads us. And it's the model where we leave our home and leave our family and leave those coming after us, because we understand this. We see it. And in that, it requires faith. Okay, God, I got to trust you. In it, there's a little bit of fear involved. God, this is scary. But also realizing that God's way is always the best way. And so I'm talking to people here that you understand this in real life, that you're doing things to create opportunities in your family's lives and in your home and in those around you. But I'm asking you, what are you doing to create those same kind of opportunities for eternity? Are you putting them out at the same amount of time and effort and dedication into that? Into what really matters? And I've seen so many get it wrong where instead of God being at the center, they'll plate themselves at the center and trying to rotate around that or place what their kids want at the center and just saying, you know what, we're just going to do what's comfortable for them. We're going to surround it to them instead of saying, look, there are some principles we're going to live by. There's some guidelines we're going to live by. There's some things we're going to instill in our home and in our family, not because they're easy, not because they're going to make us popular, but because they're right. And there's a blessing associated with them, and there's a future associated with them. And it may look like a limitation now, but someday you'll understand. And I know it's not easy. I mean, come on. I'm raising kids of my own. I understand that. I understand. It's difficult. I think Mark Twain said it best. He said, when a child becomes a teenager, you should put him in a barrel and feed him through a hole. He went on. He says, and when they turn 16, plug the hole. I get it. Some of you are like, amen. Finally, something I agree with. I understand it's hard. Our culture doesn't make it any easier. Look at what we're battling with. I mean, it's tough to raise kids. I mean, we deal with not only who they are with on the playground, but now we deal with a worldwide connection. We're dealing with Facebooks and Instagram and Snapchats and all of these things with great potential both to hurt and to benefit. And we're supposed to be on top of it all. We got four-year-olds with cell phones with more technology than, you know, sent somebody to the moon. And yet, what do we do? And how do we manage that? And how do we go through life like that? All kinds of problems that we never thought we'd deal with in our society. All of a sudden, in our safe little town, we're dealing with them. It's tough. It's hard. And it'd be so easy to give up. So easy to just throw in the towel and say, you know what, they'll make it. But that's not what love is. That's not what love is. I was talking to Starla here the other day, and we were talking about this topic, and thought back, what is the most awesome representation of love? The most perfect representation of love that we know, it's Jesus going to the cross. But here's the thing, did he want to go to the cross? In fact, if you look at the last prayer that Jesus prayed, you know what he's praying? I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. This is going to hurt. This is going to kill me. This goes against everything in me. I don't want to do that. And as parents and as leaders, we know what that's like, that we look at this situation and all of a sudden we're handed with, and our heart says, I don't want to do this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to have to wrestle with this. I don't want to have to go through this. This is going to hurt. But true love says, in spite of it, in spite of it, our Savior went to the cross. And he says, let me show you. This is what love looks like. This is what love is like. And as a parent, as a father, as a mother, as someone that is leading and influencing others, that becomes our example. That it's not because you want to. Don't think you're a bad parent because you don't want to deal with the things that you got to deal with. Truth is, that's okay. There's going to be a lot of things that you don't want to deal with. That's fine. But love says, even though I don't want to, I'm going to. And it's not by our strength, but that's when we've got to get on our knees and say, God, I don't want to do it, because it was by his example. That's what Jesus did. And the best thing that you can do as a dad and the best thing you can do as a mom is get to that place where you have your own garden experience and say, God, I'm going up against something and I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to handle it. But God, if there's any way around this, take it away. But if not, Lord God, give me the strength. Not my will, God, but your will. Give me what I need to do what I need to do. I'm going to do it your way, God. In spite if it's hard, in spite if I don't want to do it, in spite if it's going to be a fight, in spite if it's going to make my kids not like me, in spite if it's going to make me feel a little different, God, I'm going to do it your way, because I realize your way is best. And that's what we have to do. And here's the thing, we got to do it every single day, because every day we're faced with something new. Every day we're faced with another problem, another situation, something else we got to face. Somebody else invented it, something. There's some new social media. There's some new device. There's something else that can trap and ensnare our kids, our families, our homes, those that are coming behind us. And we've got to say, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you. Show me what I need to do. Not because it's easy, not because it's going to make me popular, but because I want my kids to survive. I want my kids to survive. So we look at Noah, such a great example. It says, by faith, and we throw that verse up again, by faith, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, did what God asked him to do. Did the hard thing, did the difficult thing, did the thing that put him out of sorts, did the thing that costed him, did the thing that pushed him to his very limit. Why? To obey God and also to save his family. He went through the same thing we did. But there was one sound that made it all very relevant. There was one sound that made what Noah was doing make sense to his kids. Drip. Drip. Okay, Dad. Good job. Okay, Dad. Oh, thank you. Drip. Thank you, Dad. Oh, I get it now, Dad. You are the best dad in the world. Did I say that, Dad? No, no, no. No, you are the best dad drip in the world, Dad. Drip, drip, drip. Dad, you are awesome, Dad. I'm so glad you're my dad. Made it all relevant. Can you imagine as the rain started to pour and that door closed and that family was in that ark, those boys looking at Noah? What did they feel? Dad, I take back every word that I said against you. I take back every eye roll. I take back everything I said. I see you as truly as a man of God, that you did the difficult thing to save me. There's something that's going to make everything we do. There's another sound coming that's going to make everything we do relevant. And that's the sound of a trumpet from heaven that's saying, hey, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. And every law you laid down, every prayer you prayed, every tear you shed, every time you did the hard thing, said we're going to do it right, even though it's hard. Every time that you said we're going to follow God's way, even though we may look different than everybody else, there's going to be that time where it's all going to be relevant. I don't know about you, but there's only two words I want to hear when I get to heaven. The first two words I want to hear when I get to heaven. And this may sound strange, but it tears me up every time that I say it. There's only two words. When I finally get on that other side, they're this. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. We made it. We did it. Thank you. Thank you. I know it wasn't easy. I know it was hard sometimes. I know you didn't want to. I know it was hard for you. But we're here. We're here. The goal as a parent, the goal as a leader, isn't to just get through this life, but it should be to get to heaven together. It should be that. That's my goal for my family. And I'm preaching from my heart today because I'm struggling. And you know our story. We're trying. We're doing the best we can. And I'm not giving up. We're not letting go. Because my goal is still to be a complete and whole family in heaven, in eternity. And that's what you need to have too. And so we need to be like Noah. That says, you know what? It's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faith and say, okay, God, I'm going to have to trust you that. We're going to have to deal with some fear and saying, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know. There's some nights where I'm just terrified about it. But I'm going to do it God's way in obedience to what God told me. But also, I've got to do everything I can to help and lead those that he's given me responsibility for. And that's for every one of you. That's for every one of you, not because it's easy, not because it makes us popular, but it's because we love and we want to see them live and live together someday. So what have you built for your family? What kind of doors are you holding open to your family? What are you building to save your family? And again, I know this, that every child has to make their own decision. But here's the thing about Noah's kids. They knew where they could go for safety. And Dad created a way. Dad created a way. Dad made the path clear. What are you doing in your home so that your kids and family and those who are following you have no doubt of this is where I go for safety. This is where I go. This is what's going to save me. This is what's going to protect me. This is the right way. Where and what have you built in your homes and in your families? I know you're doing stuff in school. I know you're doing stuff on jobs. I know you're doing things and you're out there spending time, but what have you done for eternity? What have you done for eternity? Are you doing what God is asking you to do for your heart and also to save your family? Not because it's easy, not because it's popular, but it's in recognition that what God is leading me to do to save me is also creating an opportunity to save those coming after me. Where are we following God's way in our life so that we're creating opportunities for eternity for those who are following? And here's the beautiful thing. Some of you come from a legacy of godly homes and you're saying, I'm here today because my mom, I'm here today because my dad. They create an opportunity, and they may not even be with us, but you're here today, and you're reaping the blessing of being raised in that kind of home. And you can say, many here today says, you know what, we've done it right, and we've tried our best, and you're seeing the blessings. But let's just be honest, there are some of us here today that can say, you know what, I've not done everything I've needed to do, and I've dropped the ball again and again and again. The beauty of what God is saying is that you can begin today, that you can start today. And they say, you know what? I'm leaving here today and we're going to go build our ark. I'm leaving here today, and we're going to do what we need to do. Even though it may have been a long lineage of doing it wrong, today, I understand. God was speaking to my heart. Today, it's different. I'm going back and saying, okay, God, your way. Okay, God, your way. And we're going to do it. And the beautiful thing is this, it's not up to you. It's not based upon your strength or ability. It's based upon a God that is able to do the impossible. And watch what begins to change in impossible situations when you begin to live your life according to God's way and open the doors for those that are following after. Watch what begins to change and what begins to open up when we, just like Noah, say, okay, God, whatever you say, whatever you say. Because God's just not trying to save you. He's trying to save your family. God's just not trying to save you. He's trying to save those that you have influence around. Whether it be in your home or your workplace or whatever it is, watch what happens when you start to be that representation of what is right and God's way and God's plan in the lives of those around you. People will notice and it will create an opportunity. Watch what happens. When someone from work says, hey, your life is different, tell me. I noticed that you go through things differently. There's a peace that you can go through trials that I want to know. There's a joy that you have that you shouldn't have. I want to know. Why are you different? What are we doing? We're just holding the doors open. Oh, hey, come on in. There's a God that loves you. There's an opportunity that he placed me here for. God wants to use you to do great things. Here's the thing. There's none of us capable. None of us are capable. You don't have what it takes. We teach the whole series on that a while ago. I think we're going to circle back around. It just simply says, you do not have what it takes. Turn to somebody and tell them, you do not have what it takes. You don't. You don't. You know that. You know that. But here's the thing. I love the verse that says, with God, what? All things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Let's say, with God, all things are possible. Turn to somebody and tell them that. With God, all things are possible. Turn to somebody else. Tell them, with God, all things are possible. Some of you are going back to impossible situations in your home. Let me just speak to you as a pastor this morning. Some of you are going back to problems and situations that look impossible. And you have measured that impossibility based upon your own strength, your own past, your own abilities. And here's the thing, they are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Don't you give up. Don't you stop. You just say, God, I need you more than ever. And you get back on your face. You find that prayer time at home. You make your home a holy place. And watch what God does. He will keep his word. With God, all things are possible. Possible, and it won't be too long that you'll be standing up in some service and saying, I just have a testimony because let me tell you what God did in my home. Let me tell you what God did in my family. Let me tell you what God did in my workplace. It was impossible, and I looked at it and said, there is no way. There is no way. There is no way. But God said, if you're willing to do it my way, watch what I can do. And I did, and look at what God did. Look at what God did. A new thing. No one had ever built an ark before. It was weird. It was stupid looking. But what a rejoicing thing. What a rejoicing thing. God says, hey, you ready to go build something? You ready to go build something? I'm going to give you all the plans. I'm going to give you everything that you need. I'm going to give you all the resources. I just need somebody saying, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with God. All things are possible. You can go be the parent that your home needs with God. You can go be the husband that your home needs with God. You can be the wife that your home needs with God. You can be the leader that your situation or your world needs with God. But that's the key. With God. With God. With God. God. There's hope. It can start today. But don't wait. Because here's the thing. The only thing that God didn't provide for Noah, please understand this. He gave him the animals. He gave, showed him where the wood. He gave him the directions. The only thing he didn't give him was a calendar. And saying, here's your deadline. He says, you just work until. And here's the same thing. We don't know. We don't know when God's coming back. We don't know how long we've got. We could fall over, get hit by a bus today. We don't know. We don't know. That's why we can't wait. We can't hesitate. God starts now. You've given me this moment. So in this moment, I need you. In this moment, I'm deciding. In this moment, with God, all things are possible. Let's stand.